Good evening, everyone. We'd like to welcome you as you join us this evening as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And special welcome to those of you who are here at this point as the choir and the musicians and singers present to you this musical prelude to give glory to the Christ who was born. Have a blessed evening.
Thank you. 40. Voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every its law. The crooked straight, the crooked straight, the crooked straight, and the rough makes his plain, and the rough place is plain, and the rough place is plain.
I am so thankful for the hand of the Lord on musicians and for their ability. I want to thank each of these guys. They're going to blow us away tonight as we worship and as we give thanks. But, I stood over there in the corner so that nobody could see me. And I'm like, Ken, can you give me a little bit of time? And so he added those last couple of pieces, and we are very thankful for that. I'm thankful for the choir and the singers that have come in to help with filling some parts. But most of all, I am thankful for those of you who are here with us tonight. This is a challenging time of year to draw people out. Thankfully, the Lord blessed us with good weather and safety to get here. But a few announcements as we begin this evening. First, thank you also to those who have donated the poinsettias for this service. Once the service is over, those of you who donated them may come and pick any one. There's one on each windowsill. There's ones on each of the old flower stands, and then nine of them here on the communion table. So don't fight each other. They're all the same. So we should be good there. Hopefully, when you came in tonight, you received one of these candles. If you did not, during one of the hymns, you'll want to make sure you go back and get one. The only ones that didn't get one is Ken. It's kind of hard, especially he's sweating up a storm already. But he needs both of his hands at that time. And these gentlemen as well need their hands. So everybody else, you should have gotten these. These will be used at the end of the ceremony. You might notice something different if you've been here on Christmas Eve with us in the past. We used to have just those little paper things, but they tended to make a mess on the floor with wax. So we have these fancy plastic cups that the candles are in to hopefully keep from that happening. When the service is, when we do the candle lighting, one of our ruling elders and myself will go down the center aisle and we will light the candle of the person on the aisle, and then in turn, you share the light with the person next to you, and down it goes down the row. When the service is over, you can then extinguish the light. What you do with the candle, I don't care. You can take it home with you. You can throw it in the trash when you leave. But please, if you would, put the plastic piece back into the wicker basket we have as you exit to the right so that we can use them in the future again. Let's see. Other stuff. We will be taking an offering tonight. Obviously, there is no pressure on anybody for that. Should you like to give, our offering this Christmas, as we do every Christmas Eve, is for our denomination's Ministerial Relief Fund. What that fund is for, so you are aware, is it is to help pastors who have retired or widows of pastors who have come upon financial difficulties. In the past, a lot of pastors, you know, many aren't the most well paid, and so sometimes they run short and are in need. And so this fund helps pastors and widows in their time of need. For members of Asquith, those who attend here, you should have passed as you came in that table that has a ton of Christmas cards and some other things on there. Please make sure you pick yours up on the way out. I will give you fair warning for tonight. We're not just going to hear their voices. There are a lot of Christmas carols. And as I was speaking with one of our members who couldn't be here tonight, he said, well, you know, we're saving everybody from my voice. Well, I said, that doesn't save them from mine. But the psalmist says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. If the voice the Lord gave you isn't the greatest singing voice, it's the voice he gave you and that he desires to hear back from you. So sing with joy to the Lord. We'll stand for some, we'll remain seated for others so that it's not an up and down roller coaster the whole time. So with that being said, it is a joy to gather on this Christmas Eve as God's people, to worship the one who was born to be our king, one born to redeem a people in desperate need to provide life for us. And so as we gather this evening, let me begin in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you on this Christmas Eve for the reason in which we gather. That in love for us, you have given us your Son. Given that he might live a sinless life. That you should credit his perfection to our accounts. That you should take our sin and place it upon his shoulders. That he would face your just wrath upon sin as he went to the cross for us. Lord, it was for that purpose that he took on flesh. It was for that purpose that we can gather to celebrate this night. And so, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be very present among us, leading us in worship, enabling us to praise you as you, our God, alone are due. For, Lord, we have gathered this night in the precious name of Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. The service tonight is based entirely on one verse of the Bible. Probably the most well-known verse in the whole of the Bible. Maybe people don't always know what it says, but they're at least familiar with the reference of John 3:16. Now, we're going to read other passages as well, which touch on the principles of it, but we're not actually, this is so hard for a pastor to say, we're not actually going to preach a sermon tonight. Let that be an opening for you to come and worship with us on the Lord's Day this week, when that will be the main focus of the sermon this week as we look at the passage of John 3:16 through verse 21, actually. We're studying John 3 during this holiday season. And so if you feel you've been shortchanged tonight, I didn't get to hear a sermon, come on Sunday. I promise you'll hear one and you'll hear it and you'll hear it anyway. But please don't let that discourage you. We would encourage you to come. But hear now what Martin Luther called the gospel in miniature. The gospel of John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 begins with the simple words, "for God." And that reminds us that that which we need, salvation, forgiveness of sin, begins not with us, but began with God. Began in the mind of God before even he began creation. It was in the mind of God to save sinners. To save those whom he would create, whom he knew would turn their back on him. Whom he knew would run from him. It was in the mind of God. It's not that we loved God, but that he first loved us. Hannah's going to come and read for us on that first portion, reminding us of the mind of God as he sent his son to be our salvation.
John 1, verses 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Jesus, eternally God, with God in the beginning. Literally, John 1 says, before the beginning began. It was the plan of God to bring life to man, not just physical life, but spiritual life, and that life is in his Son. It's all because of the sovereign, loving will of our God who gives us peace, who pardons our sins, who makes us his own. The first carol that we're going to sing tonight, I'm going to ask that you stand as we sing number 197. Comfort, comfort ye my people. You may be seated. For God so loved. We have in our world a misguided understanding of what love is. We think of it purely as emotion and lovey-dovey feelings, not that emotions aren't important. But love is the settled mind that says, I am going to seek the best of the one I love. No matter what it costs me, I will be faithful and care for them. For God so loved, even while we were yet in our sin, God loved us enough to send his son. Chris is going to come and read from the Apostle John's first epistle.
First John, verse 4, 9 through 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his only Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Thank you, Chris. I gave you the one with the hard word.
I noticed.
In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son, yes, to be the propitiation. A wonderful theological word. What that means is he sent his son to bear wrath on our place. When I do wrong at home, and it is quite often, one thing that helps is to stop at a store and come home with some roses. A gift of propitiation to take away the wrath that is justly due for my error, for my sin. God gave Christ to bear that wrath in our place. Christ, who all for love's sake, the hymn writer says, became as poor. Christ, all for love's sake, became as man. But at the same time, he is our Savior and King, and so we worship him. Let's remain seated this time as we sing number 230, Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor.
Thank you.
Now comes the challenging part. For God so loved the world. For the Apostle John, the term world is actually a technical term. It means mankind in his rebellion against God. It's set in opposition to the kingdom of God. So this verse is saying God even loved that which was in rebellion, open rebellion against him. I don't know how to fathom that. Jesus, as he was preparing his disciples in the upper room on the night when he was arrested, reminds his disciples of three things about the world. One, the world hates him. Secondly, that if one is in Christ, truly a disciple of Christ, then as one hates Christ, they will hate the faithful disciple of Christ. But the reason for that is because God has taken us out of the world. He's transferred our citizenship, taken us from the world, and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. And so I'm going to ask Lisa if she would come up, and she's going to read that portion from John chapter 15.
If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you.
The world is still in conflict with the kingdom and those who make it up. Doesn't take much watching the news to see that's the case. But we serve a king, the Lord Jesus Christ, born in the town of Bethlehem, born into this world of sin, the hymn writer says, for the very purpose that he might save us from it. We'll stand this time and we'll sing number 201, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
may be seated. I mentioned that our world has an unusual view of sin. I mean, of love. But it has an unusual view of sin, too. It tends to ignore it and speak it away. But we have an unusual view of love. Like I said, we think of love just as the mere feelings of love. But if you look in the dictionary, the word love is actually a verb. It's an action. Yes, the action corresponds to the feelings, but do you really love someone if you never act on their behalf? You never speak lovingly to them? And so John says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He acted in response to that. He gave the ultimate Christmas gift, if you will. He gave his one and only son. He gave the best that he had. The son that was with the father from the very beginning. He gave him so that he could turn his back on him as he bore our sin. But we're reminded by the apostle that if God should give to us in such a way, it compels us, if we in turn love God, that we too give. And so Brenna's going to come and read two verses for us from Romans chapter 8.
What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?
The promise of God is that in Christ he gives to us all things. God withholds nothing from his people, that of what we truly need. And so it's our turn. As God gave his son, so we give his son to the world, a world that is in ever-growing need of him. As God acted and gave, he sent his son, so he sends us. I realize that in an every other stand-sit, we would sit for this carol, but there's no way we can sit and sing this. So if you are able, let me invite you to stand as we sing number 224, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Oh,
You may be seated. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, his unique, his one of a kind, only begotten Son. So that those of us who are born children of the enemy can become sons of God. Christ is unique in that he is the eternal Son. The Son who would take on that which was worldly. The Apostle John, in his presentation of the Incarnation, says that the Word became flesh. And the word flesh there is that which is worldly, that which is generally thought of as falling short, as sinful. He took on our flesh that he might live in our world, that he might save us out of the world. And so Verena's going to come and read that blessed verse from the Apostle John's record of the Incarnation.
In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was...
It's this one. Right there. There
you go. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father of grace and truth.
Thank you. It's nerve-wracking standing in front of you all. So thank you, Verena, and others as well. He is very God. Begotten, not created, the creed says. And so does the hymn. This time, even though it's hard, we'll remain seated as we sing number 208, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Come, all ye faithful.
we gathered to adore the Word that became flesh, dwelt among us that He might save us. As a part of our worship, we give to the glory of that Christ, for the building up of His kingdom, for the good of those who have served His church. If you're able to give, our ushers are going to come forward and join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift that You have given of Your Son, the gift of Your grace by which You bring us out of the world and into the kingdom, that You give us all that we need for salvation. And Father, on this night too, we thank You for those who have served Your church, whether it be in the local church or as missionaries around the world. And if they are in need, we thank You for the work of our denomination and those churches that give to the Ministerial Relief Fund. Lord, we pray that You will meet the needs of those who have served You. Meet the needs of their widows who have come on hard times. Lord, we bless You for all that You have done for us. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Standing here beside the manger, looking at this little stranger, wondering if he'll be like other boys. Looking down across tomorrow, knowing there will be some sorrow, I still know he'll bring 10,000 joys. 10,000 joys. Sweet Son of God, You came to me, and my heart sees, because I know that You are mine. In You I find 10,000 joys, enough to last through all the years, and joy to shine through all my tears. 10,000 joys.
When I am alone with Jesus, in the quiet where no one sees us, or when He is with me in life's, if
10,000 joys. I know he came from God to save us from our sins. And then he came to set his people free.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever, not just religious people, but those who belong to the world, that whoever believes in him, not whoever does the right things, not whoever is good enough, because none of us are, but whoever believes. We come by God's grace alone, through faith alone, to Christ alone. Indeed, that's the whole purpose that John wrote his entire gospel. As Lisa Lee will come and read for us the purpose of that gospel.
Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
John wrote, guided by the Holy Spirit, so that as the Spirit works by and with the Word of God, we should believe, we should trust, we should lay our lives at the feet of God's only Son. For he has come to free all those who simply trust in him, the hymn writer says. We're going to remain seated for this hymn, number 211, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
Thank you.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. The surrounding text in John 3:16 says that all of us, we already, as a part of the world, we stand condemned already. Condemned by our very nature, which is handed down to us in Adam, but condemned by our very thoughts, words, and deeds. Our sins of commission and sins of omission. But Jesus came so that those that the Father has given to him out of the world and into his kingdom should not perish. What a blessing. And so Mary is going to come and read from another familiar passage from John's gospel, that a part of the Good Shepherd passage where Jesus talks about the very same thing.
John 10. 27-30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one.
Jesus, the eternal Son of God, begotten, not created, one with the Father, says that for those the Father has given him out of the world, he holds them in his hand, and no one can snatch them out of his hand. He shall never perish. But then he doubles down, and he says, you know what? Well, my Father, he holds them in his hand. And what can pry the believer out of the hand of omnipotence, of the one who is all-powerful? Indeed, when he promises that those who are his shall never perish, we can take comfort in the truth that those who trust in Christ shall never perish. Indeed, as the well-known carol says, mild he lays his glory by. He leaves heaven to take on our flesh, was born that man no more may die. In other words, we shall not perish. Let's stand and sing number 20 or 203. Hark, the herald angel sings.
Thank you.
may be seated. I have to confess, I've given myself the best seat. I can hear all of you. I can hear them so clearly, and it's hitting from both sides so beautifully to give glory to Christ, the newborn King. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Well, you know, if that's where the sentence ended, it really wouldn't provide us with a whole lot of hope. But the great word of the gospel comes next. We should not perish, but God, but have eternal life. That's something my mind cannot even begin to comprehend. As very finite creatures, we cannot grasp what is infinite and eternal. But God is, and says, you will be like me in that you will be eternal. You will not end. Face to face with the living God. This doesn't even logically make sense, but for the entirety of eternity, you can't say entirety because it doesn't end. He gives us eternal life. And so Gregory is going to come and complete our readings this evening. I knew I was going to do that at least once. Habits just come out. He's going to read of the life that God gives us. Gregory?
First John 5:11 through 12. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
Thank you. Let me get grammatical on you for a moment. Did you notice the tense of the verb there? And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. That's a past tense. It's a completed sense to it. The eternal life that he gave is ours throughout and will not end. As God gave his Son in time, so he gave us in time through his Son life that shall never end. It is eternal, face to face with our God. My friends, we have cause to rejoice this night, every night, because God gave us his Son. Because we'll stand for a while in a moment, I'll have us remain seated as we sing number 207, Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Thank you.
This is one of my favorite parts of the Christmas Eve service. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing Silent Night. As we do, Mark and I will come down the aisle and we will light the candle of the person on the aisle, showing forth that Christ has given us life and light, and so we are called to go and to share our light, to share the light of Christ with the world in need, and so we share with you, and then you turn to your neighbor and share, and so down it goes. After everyone has had their candles lit and we've finished singing Silent Night, I'll pronounce the benediction, and we'll remain standing for what has become our custom for ending this particular service. As we conclude, we'll stand and sing the Hallelujah Chorus and give praise to the God who has come to save, who has not only come to save, but has saved. We have cause to rejoice and to truly not actually be silent, but to go and speak and to share the word of Christ. Let's stand together. Quick reminder to carefully blow out your candles when you choose to do so. And again, if you could return the little plastic pieces in the back, that would be most helpful to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It was for that reason that Christ the Savior was born. That is the hope, a sure and certain hope that we have, not because there's anything special about us, but because Christ was born. And so indeed, as we go forth this evening to praise our God, to give to those in need around us, we go with this blessing from our Heavenly Father. Indeed, may the God of hope, may our God fill you with all joy. May he fill you with all peace. Peace as you believe, as you trust in Christ, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in the fullness of hope. Oh.